You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. It's I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I've said this before in this same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them. And I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Shanika, can you hear me?
I hear you just fine.
Oh, okay. My microphone just went out, like, right at the moment. Okay, I guess I'm coming through clear. And, like, it literally went out right as I was about to go into the intro, so I thought you had lost me. I had lost you.
Oh, no.
Okay.
We're good.
This is super weird. I don't know if I'm coming through the computer or the microphone. Forgive me, everybody, for the rough start. I thought my mic went out just as we started the show. So let me start this thing right. I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Shanika Peterson. And welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning, Shanika. Thank you for holding me down once again, serving in your role as a Queens of Intellect member. Right now it's just you and me rocking. We got a couple callers on with us already, so hopefully they'll jump in with us. But thank you, Queen, for being with me this morning. If you will, say hello to the intellectual outcast that I now call my listeners now. If you will, Queen, you know, give a little bit of your background. You and I've had many discussions like this morning's discussion question, but I'll introduce you before I let the cat out the bag on this morning's discussion question. Thank you, Queen, again for being with me.
Good morning, Montoya. Thank you for having me again as a co-host. It is always a pleasure to co-host with you and the intellectual outcast. Is that what we call it?
Yep, we call it.
All right. So good morning to everyone out in the cyber world. My name is Shanika Peterson. I am a podcaster. I host an annual live event called Cocktails and Conversation in Douglasville, Georgia. Montoya has graced us many times as our MC for our annual event, and I also co-host the Real Talk with Pasha B podcast, and we can be found on social media at Talk with Pasha B. So feel free to follow me and all the events that we host. Again, that's Talk with Pasha B.
No, absolutely. I love your cocktail and conversations. I thank you for even allowing me to co-host, to have a great time every year with it. So, you know, I'll go ahead and put in my bid to do it again this year. But it's all good. I love it.
Of course, Montoya. You definitely can keep everybody on task and focus. So I appreciate having you as my MC.
No, absolutely. Well, thank you for the opportunity. And with that said, let's get more started with this morning's discussion question. If you are a first-time listener, we use a question to tackle every topic, and the idea is to use, I go by Black Socrates, if you will, to use the Socratic method. If you ask the right questions, maybe you'll get to the right answers. And this morning's discussion question, should black women feel protected around black men, strangers or not? Should black women feel protected around black men, strangers or not? And so, Shanika, when I called you and said, hey, Queen, can you hold me down this morning? You heard the question worded that way. Can you recall your initial thought?
My initial thought, Montoya, I did a slight eye roll, to be quite honest with you. And my first thought was, just leave people alone. Just leave people alone. That was my first thought.
I respect it. I accept the eye roll, because at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, this question is quite obvious, right? When you just hit a question as is, should black women feel protected? Hell yeah, they should feel protected around black men. You know what I mean? Strangers or not. So I get, you know, people eye rolling at this week's discussion question, because it's kind of like, what the hell does he mean? And so I thought there was a lot of opportunity and nuance, because to be honest, what led to this morning's discussion question was I actually posted a meme that simply said black women should feel protected around black men. Strangers or not, let's make this a thing, y'all. So I'm going to say that again. I posted that meme earlier this week saying black women should feel protected around black men. Strangers or not, let's make this a thing, y'all. And so I got a lot of response because I actually put a little commentary with it, which I'll kind of let the cat out the bag on that a little later in the show. And I put a little commentary saying, just kind of saying, hey, here's a perspective. I said, I love this meme, but here's a perspective for some of, you know, for us to think about. And so when I saw all the interaction that meme caused, again, people all kind of taking different sides, if you will. Some kind of overlooked the commentary, which is, you know, no surprise. And sometimes people will just kind of look at a meme and keep it moving and not pay attention to the commentary. And so I would jump in and kind of add some context because people were going back and forth with the meme that, again, simply said, black women should feel protected around black men, strangers or not, let's make this a thing. And so the reality was, I said, you know what, because of the interaction, I'm going to turn it into a show and see if we actually can make it a thing. Like, that's what's worth the dialogue. Can we dialogue about what that protection looks like? Because, again, I'll admit, love the meme when it says sisters should feel protected around black men. That's a simple agreement. How is this even an argument, right? How is this even a dialogue? And so I get the eye roll, if you will. So, if you just kind of heard me kind of lay out a little of the framework before we go to our initial break, any thoughts to what I'm saying? And then we're going to go to break and get hot and heavy into this morning's discussion question. But any thoughts about, again, even I'm very aware of, in my, you know, my opinion, where your eye roll somewhat comes from.
So the IRO was grounded in, again, these conversations of black men and black women and how we relate to one another. So that was the initial IRO. And like I said, just leave people alone, as far as there wouldn't be a need for this protection if, in this case, in the way you phrased the question, if black men left black women alone, i.e. cause no harm, just do no harm. And I think if we, moved with that as a foundation, we wouldn't necessarily have this as an issue or a talking point.
Yeah, well, I think a little differently. And the reason I say I think a little differently is because, again, I love the meme as is. But as with most memes, memes lack context. And so when I think about context, I offered in my thoughts that unfortunately the meme doesn't work in reality when you put things in full perspective. I agree with you. I wish it was as simple as leave folks alone. And let's be honest, you know, in a sense, this can go both ways, if you will. But at the same time, at the end of the day, I wish it was that simple. But what we're going to do is go to our break, just like I promised, and then we're going to get into a lot of the comments that happened this week, and we will open up the phone lines for other people to join us. So we are up against our first break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. If you want to get in on this morning's discussion, if you're online, the number is 646-787-1691. You will have to press 1 if you want to join us for the discussion. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wines. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping deal or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, try this sweet red first.
That's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure. That's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
Hey guys, this is the spot that 1 week ago, 3 black women were killed, 2 others injured in that horrific domestic violence incident. The alleged gunman, a 19-year-old man who was the boyfriend of one of the women shot. It's an epidemic that the local and domestic violence agency here in Virginia Beach says is only getting worse.
After the mass shooting in Norfolk, one that killed 3 women and injured 2 more, the hotline at the Samaritan House Domestic Violence Center surged in calls. Women so concerned looking at their own situation that they needed help.
Women in color are killed at a disproportionate rate than any other race.
The statistics are hard to swallow. Listen to this. According to the CDC, African American women are 3 times more likely than white women to experience death as a result of domestic violence. 22% of domestic violence events ending in homicide are of African American women. The CDC also says domestic violence is one of the leading causes of death for black women ages 15 to 35.
The economic disparities, the ongoing discrimination, they're less likely to have the better jobs and economically don't do as well. Maybe they're dependent on their abuser more so than other races.
Other reasons for the epidemic, according to experts with the Samaritan House, include fear of isolation, not knowing how to navigate the legal system, fear of arrest, and even skepticism of intervention and shelter services. But some of the reasons go back deeper.
Because of the marginalization of black and African American women here in the United States, due to historical discrimination, due to economic hardship, as well as social injustice, reaching out for support and assistance to law enforcement has historically been something that has been very difficult.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Shanika Peterson. This morning's discussion question, should black women feel protected around black men, strangers or not? As I just pulled out a cut that we've actually played on the show before that just highlights kind of the inevitable, in a sense, the unfortunate stats that many of you probably heard, you know, many a times when it comes to us demographically as African-Americans. Unfortunately, the violent acts against sisters seem to trend higher than other groups to a degree. To be specific, not as much as Native Americans or Alaskan Americans, if you will. Actually, they unfortunately experience a very, very high rate, even much higher than us, believe it or not. And even to give some context, just so that I'm not just throwing information out there, on average, white women experience different levels of violence, and about 31% of black or white women have experienced some type of violence, and about 40% of black women. That number goes as high as 50% for Native Americans and Alaskans. Again, just to give some context, and again, obviously, to say this very clearly, and that's what we report. We do understand how much doesn't go unreported, so that's not something that we are avoid of when we mention these numbers. But in hearing these stats, I remember, Shanika, just you mentioning, you know, even in delving into this question, These numbers, again, are numbers that I'm pretty sure you've heard different versions of them, and you're very aware of the stats. And so I remember you kind of even mentioned, yeah, with the numbers so obvious, you know, what is the dialogue to a degree? And I may be, you know, putting words in your mouth, but just as you hear these numbers, just what are your first thoughts? And then I'm going to start sharing some of the comments that came from that meme earlier this week. Go ahead, Queen.
So listening to the disproportionate number of Black women, and I'll just say women of color across the diaspora, who are suffering from these from this violence or that serve as victims, I do think about the economic component and listening to the snippet you just played, and they broke down the economic disparities and discrimination. So all of these things that we deal with on a daily basis contribute to these high numbers. I guess I'm just curious as to what's being done to counter the symptoms that's causing the problems. So that's some of the things that came to my mind listening to the snippet.
No, absolutely. And I hope this dialogue can assist with that very question. And so, again, I'll start with, again, we got a lot of comments. And so, again, anybody can jump in if you're online and want to jump in. Again, the number, you have to press one to get in on this discussion. But one of the first thoughts I got when I put up that meme said, my mother says when she was young, this was a rule. Whenever you were in trouble, find the nearest Black man. He says, it's unfortunate that it seems we have lost what we once had. It's a good thing we're taking daily action to restore our community. My response to that was, strong communities consequently come from strong families, and with the attack on the Black family structure, we unfortunately have fewer boys raised with these values. Also, add in our current misunderstanding of provision makes it easier for these type of men who harm women to do so as well. And that was, again, just my quick response to one brother saying, hey, for his mother, this was a rule, if you will. So just any thoughts in hearing that comment for the first time, Shanika?
You know, it's funny because I pretty much heard the exact opposite, whereas you don't get involved in family business. You don't get involved in other people's business. So even in situations where you may see or witness a violent act, whether it's primarily domestic violence, it's you don't get involved. I've heard Black men say, you know, it's not worth your life because women tend to go back to their abusers or people who are causing harm. And, you know, people are really, really concerned about the threat to their own life. And this, for me, that's been historical. So, yeah, what you just mentioned in your experience, that's new to me.
Now, fair enough. And again, and this is just my assumptions to the context. Again, this was this man responding to the meme that simply said Black women should feel protected around Black men, strangers or not. And that was his response. When I look at the context, again, I did give my response, but the context that I feel like his mother may have been operating in, and I know this brother, I think we're similar ages, so his mother's, I would assume, old enough to have, in a sense, come up at a time where I would assume some of that trouble, that rule may have been passed on by, was the idea of how our parents and grandparents experienced a time where there was a lot of danger outside of our race. So I hear some of what, you know, again, I hear some of her response being more or less related to issues that could happen from outside our race. And it's kind of like run to a Black man to be protected. Basically, if someone else, I would assume outside the race, is protecting you. So that's kind of what I think the context of what I'm reading or hearing. Can you hear that in there? Because, again, I think that's kind of where she may have been coming from and why that may have been a rule. And when I say violence, I'm not talking about obviously highlighting domestic violence, because that's the biggest issue that we see in the community. But I'm really referring to any types of violence, whether it's out public, whether it's rape, whether it's domestic violence. Again, that's how most sisters are harmed, more so than car wrecks, more so than rape is domestic violence. It's the highest form in which our sisters are hurt. So that's kind of, in a sense, why I highlight it. But that's not all of the violence that I'm referring to. But can you hear that context? That I think she may have just been coming from a different time where it was actually, you know, more dangerous to interact with other races is what I assume some of that context was. Your thoughts on that real quick, Queen.
I can hear why the grandmother might have said that. I can hear that. Like I said, that's the first I've ever heard anyone make that type of comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it could be a regional thing. It can't.
Right.
I'm just not familiar with that. I'm not familiar with that.
No. And the reason I'm even pointing that out is because, you know, again, I don't know for, I mean, obviously I can't speak for him himself, but the reason I'm pointing that out is when the young man says, I keep saying young man, but when the brother says, it's unfortunate that it seems that we have lost once what we once had. And when I hear that comment, it makes me, you know, we kind of look at, in a sense, times in the past where collectively we have this idea when we look back in the past, how collectively this thought of we were more together. And I'm highlighting that if I am right about that, some of her context comes at, you know, at a time where things were more riskier for our community, some of that coming together and protection based on what our ancestors went through was due to, you know, in a sense, fighting against what they've, and I, with their efforts have benefited us in which that's not as big of a concern. Obviously, there are still issues with police brutality and things of that nature. But, you know, I know my grandparents came up at a time where, you know, they would have to step off the sidewalk, if you will, when a white person walked by and things of that nature. So I just, again, think some of when we say we've lost that, I think it was, in a sense, a different fight. And so, yes, we've lost it, partly because the fight is different. Again, just a little context that I think should be added to this. I've actually got somebody that wants to jump in, so I'm going to go ahead and let them jump in before I go to the next comment.
Okay.
Area code 661, last 362. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ty. I'm calling in from Boston. Just a quick 3 cents. I've heard similar to what Montoya is saying. However, kind of to add context, I've always been told depends on the severity of when you involve men. However, you should be able kind of to go to certain men for certain protection, but in relation to actual domestic violence. But if it's like minor things, be very careful when you do involve other men because of how it can kind of escalate. And so I do wonder, depending on the context of how different people have learned maybe like when to involve men and things like that, I wonder if different interpretations maybe kind of happened. Because in reverse, I've heard some people say you don't want to involve men until it gets, you know, really bad because they don't know the temperature of the man that they're involving and they don't know how it might escalate, you know? And so, but then I've also heard, you know, that you can go to men because they will protect you. And so I wonder kind of within that context, did a lot of meaning get lost depending on the person? And so you just don't know when to jump in, kind of like double dutch of, well, when do I, because I do see them as protection in some way, but then there's confusion if that protection is going to turn even more violent and do I think I can kind of handle certain things. But that's just my 3 cents. I'm going to head off to the gym, but I just had to give it because this is a really good conversation.
No, thank you. You brought in a lot of context, and it is definitely the issue for, I'll say, me personally, you know, as an African-American man who absolutely feels like, well, I should say feels like I do protect the women in my circle or whatever, but I definitely had situations where actually women I kind of, in a sense, did not know as well, kind of, in a sense, had to serve in the world. And she's right. It is a double dutch, but I love hearing her perspective, like, how is it being received amongst actual sisters? Like, she's been given some advice, but maybe people gave her, it sounds like, some degree of how, in a sense, to possibly use it. And if I listen to her point, some people may not have been given any advice on what that even looks like. Your thoughts in hearing Ty's comments out of Boston, Queen, your thoughts, Shanika?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with her. in that sense where, and I kind of mentioned before coming out of the last break, where nowadays people don't maybe place in their own lives in jeopardy trying to protect women or other people in this in situations where they're threatened. So I absolutely see what Ty is talking about, and I completely understand. So I guess my question for you, Montoya, how do you gauge whether or not to intervene? How do you test the temperature if placed in that situation?
It's the hardest shit in the world, Sneaky. Straight up. I'm going to give you an example, and this is, I think, it'll be a full context of how crazy it is. But again, I hear what Ty's saying. Like, people may be even told, yes, you run to a brother, right, for protection. But if they don't, but what's getting lost in translation for those sisters, right? Because as men, we definitely worry about the innocent sisters who misuse it, if you will, because that does happen. You know, that's not the whole point. But I'll give you a personal example of how hard it is. So I've lived in my area here for almost a decade now. And two occasions since I've lived here, no major issues. But remember one time I was actually washing it on site, if you will, or whatever. So I was going there and walking to my apartment. And literally this one morning, this sister is outside at her car yelling at this dude who had, and they're probably maybe 30, 40 yards apart at this point, maybe 30, about 30 yards, I would say. He's at the door. She's at her car. And I can tell she's yelling at his mother on the phone. Because she was like, your son is going to jail today. Your son is, like just going off because she's saying he didn't hit her and she's going off and she's going to send him to jail. And she just keeps going off to the mother. And so I'm walking by and I can't, and he's at the door, they're 30 yards apart. You know, I didn't witness anything, but she's going off saying that this man didn't hit her. And all I'm thinking to myself is with him coming out, I'm not, if whatever she's saying, I'm not going to allow it to continue or whatever, but she continues to go off. And I keep walking by or whatever, but I'm paying attention. I have a neighbor at another building who comes out, young man, and he knew the situation. He goes, I'm thinking she lived there with him and he had struck her and she's telling, but the whole time I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, why is she calling the police? Why is she talking to his mother? That's the first thing that was thinking crossing my head. But this guy knew of them. He goes, she doesn't live there. So that was a little weird to me because I'm thinking this is half day there together and she didn't hit her and she done walked out saying, telling his mother, I'm going to call the police. And so I'm kind of like, oh, she ran up on his situation. I'm just kind of telling you how I was processing it. But me and him decide that, you know, we didn't see what happened. We just hear what she's saying on the phone. I'm still thinking, why is she calling the police? I said, but at the same time, if he comes out, we kind of decide we're not going to witness no issue in front of us. So we are walking a little close to the situation. Young brother has a gun. Like, don't worry, bro, we got this. Like, this is literally how we just standing up. Luckily for us, I'll say luckily, she finally gets in the car and speeds away. As far as I know, the police never came. Maybe she never called the police. But young man stands in the gap with me because we decided, hey, we're not finna witness no violence in front of us. I tell you that story because a couple years later, the same man that stood in the gap with me had a young lady that lived with them. And I'm come home one morning. And they are having a knockdown, drag out, yelling match. He's outside of the apartment. I can hear her inside the apartment. He got a cut on his face, bleeding like a champ. And I'm in the house, and I can hear this in my house. A whole building over, they're that loud. Nobody else is getting involved. And I'm sitting here going, this is crazy. The same young man that was about to protect this other woman is in this situation. Now, they're just all I can see is yelling. And or here is yelling, and I saw him bleeding when I walked in the house. So I'm like, I can't let this go on or whatever. So I go over because he's outside saying, hey, bro, what's going on, man? Like, what's going on? He's whatever. He's like, she didn't cut me. She didn't, what, you know, whatever. He's giving his version. And because she hears me, she come now she's kind of venting to me to give me her version. So I didn't step into to the middle of it. And the thing is, there's kids there, and they're both accusing each other of having domestic violence. Because I know the laws in Georgia, if they're going to accuse each other, Georgia's the one state that takes both parents to jail, period. Whereas other states, it's usually the man, if you will. Not saying it's always the case, but in Georgia, if both people accuse one another, they take both to jail, and there's kids there. So I'm sitting here going, I don't know who's telling the whole truth here, but he's breaking that because she's talking about she's going to call the police. And all, same thing as the other lady, but she's in the house. So they just keep telling me the story, and I'm saying, look here, all I want to do, young lady, is get you away from here since you don't, you know, since you're living with him, let me get you away from here. And so when you ask me how hard is it, it was the hardest thing in the world. I take her away. She didn't have a place to go initially, so I literally had to take her back. The guys that worked at the that worked in maintenance knew this brother. He was kin to one of them, whatever. I said, y'all take him away till she can go. She goes, and a week later, she was back.
Mm-hmm. That's usually how it happens. And, you know, Montoya, in both those situations that you recounted, it's a layered – it was layered. So in the first situation, you weren't alone in approaching the situation. You had this neighbor of yours who was also armed at the time, who was going to support you in intervening in the first encounter. In the second encounter, it was the neighbor. So you had a relationship or just the basic mm-hmm. knowledge of one another mm-hmm. in that aspect. So
good
now
point,
add
man.
Another factor where you're a complete stranger, and you're
right. I ain't thought of you right. That's yeah. So it's hard as shit. You're right.
right. And you don't know what you're walking up on, especially now. You know, we are in Georgia, which is pretty much what they call a constitutional carry state. You don't know if somebody's armed. You don't know. You know, in some situations, you may have the victim turn on you if you intervene and, you know, get the best of the perpetrator. You may have the victim, you know, turn on you. So it's so many layers to consider. And, you know, I hear you. I feel for the men who place themselves in those situations to serve as a buffer or, you know, the person to de-escalate the situations. But these are things that definitely needs to be taken into consideration.
Nah, thank you for that. We're up against the break. We'll go to a quick break. There'll be another cut. Obviously, we can pay attention and continue this morning's discussion. Anybody else wants to get in, the number is 646-787-1691. You have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think. LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
I've spent the last 5 years chasing organized crime, and the volume involved in domestic family violence is just, it's five times anything in the world of crime response for the New South Wales Police Force.
This is a complex area, and often the violence is perpetrated by someone that they love and trust, and so that they continue to love them and unfortunately may trust them, but at their own peril.
It's the whole cycle of violence. you know, the victim, you know, is assaulted and then the offender comes back, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, you know, they're all happy again until it happens the next time. A lot of the time, the victims that we're dealing with, they don't have much of a support network, so they feel like they have to go back to their partner because they've got no one else.
Stop!
Where is he?
Where is he?
No!
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Shanika Peterson. This morning's discussion question, should black women feel protected around black men, strangers or not? As you hear a cut, this is actually out of Sydney, Australia, and I did this intentionally to give a perspective as we obviously focus on the black community, if you will, but I just wanted to start giving that context because, unfortunately, when you hear, as I mentioned in the, as we mentioned in the beginning of the show, the stats where disproportionately these things happen to African Americans, sometimes we lose the context of how prevalent it can be really amongst all, if you will. And so here's an, you know, another country in a sense talking about that same cycle where quite often the victim doesn't, and, you know, especially when it comes to domestic violence specifically, doesn't always have a great support system. And they really kind of, like the sister I just told you, ran back, you know, for a myriad of reasons, whether they love the person, don't have somewhere else to go, whether it's dangerous for them to leave. There's a lot of factors in that situation. However, the context that happens in America, if you will, because we hear those disproportionate numbers, often is, to a degree, there's this concept that it's worse, that there are more men, if you will, doing it in our community, and not, in my opinion, not realizing that it's not as racial as we would like to think to a degree. Like one sister said this to give even more context of why I'm saying this. She saw that same meme last week and said, I think the point of the post would be black women shouldn't feel like they're inherently in danger around black men. It shouldn't be that way. And she says, and it is. And I have to respect her personal perspective. So I'll ask you that, Shanika. Like, are you, when you see that meme, and as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, it, you know, would be nice if people just left people alone. But where are you at? This young lady says she feels inherently in danger. Where do you sit on that spectrum, if you will? Because I have to respect, again, people's individual experience when it comes to this type of discussion.
I think it depends. So if you're talking about one-on-one, should black women feel protected around black men? Are we talking about there's one man standing there and I'm walking past one man, or if I'm walking past two or a group of men? I think that needs to be taken into consideration, people's personal experiences. But to her point, I think we should feel protected around black men to the extent that I should not expect harm to be caused to me when I'm around black men. So I do agree in that instance. And I know we're speaking specifically about black men, but I think it's more so of a dynamic between men and women.
No, fair enough. Let me give you my comments that went with the actual meme. Again, I told you I gave some commentary. So what I said about that same meme, and I'll keep repeating it just in case somebody just now tuning in. So the meme that started this morning's discussion just simply said, black women should feel protected around black men, strangers or not. Let's make this a thing, y'all. What I said about the context I added to the meme was, while I love this meme, it is not based on reality and does not truly understand how protection and provision work, regardless of race. So when you hear my context, what pops in your head, Shanika?
You know, it's funny that you should pose that question because I do have in my notes, define protection and provision. because I think everybody have their own idea of how that looks. So I want you to ask the specific question one more time.
No problem. Well,
about
just,
the protection and provision.
Yeah, you know, I just added that context to the actual meme. So, I'm just kind of walking through it. But I said I love the meme, but I added this context. Again, I'm going to say the meme one more time. Black women should feel protected around black men, strangers or not. Let's make this a thing, y'all. My context in putting up the meme, because I wanted people to have dialogue, I added context on purpose. I said, while I love this meme, it is not based on reality. It does not truly understand how protection and provision work regardless of race. And so it was just what thoughts were provoked when you hear the context, because I didn't make it, you know, again, I wanted to create dialogue. So I kind of left it somewhat vague, but I still made the point that it's not based on reality, which is where I'm going to go first before I even answer your specific questions. But just wanted to hear what popped in your head when you heard my context to the meme, what popped in your head.
I agree. It is not based on reality, just based on the simple statistics that we've been referencing up until now. It's not based on reality. Far as the protection and provision, I want to leave that open again, because when we talk about protection and provision, although my response of protection is not the definition, when I think about protection, I think of do no harm, although that's not the definition of protection, but my expectation of protection is just do no harm. Provision, again, I think that's providing care, providing resources. That's what I think of when I think of provision. So I'm interested in hearing your response or a man's idea of protection and provision.
No, absolutely. Let's get into it. So let me start, as I said, I'm going to start with the reality, which I think you agree that to a degree, you do agree that in a sense, the meme itself isn't necessarily based on reality. Well, now we're going to get into right. a lot of nuance for the listeners out there. If you have never been a Mental Dialogue listener, I will go ahead and warn you. When we go through nuance, some of what we say, if it's your first time hearing it as we're walking through this nuance, some of it may be triggering, and I'm going to challenge you to listen through it anyway. My longtime listeners understand this, but I do want to walk through this nuance. And I always use the word nuance because in a world right now where we do a lot of dialogue via social media, we put things in black and white context and are not willing to work through the gray, if you will. So, again, I'm just prepping as we start walking through this thing. So what I'm going to do is break down what I meant with the extra context that I gave to the meme, and we can kind of go from there, and then we'll get into some more comments from some other people. So when I say, why I love this meme, it is not based on reality. So where I will start is quite often this is a perfect example where there a lot of dialogue was triggered by this meme because we unfortunately like to operate in what should be, not realizing what should be probably could or would never in a sense be reality. Let me explain it in a slightly different context. At the end of the day, if you and I were married, Shanika, and had young children, they would have to get a certain age before we let them stay out past, back in the day when you have to be in the house when you're young by the lights, when the sun go down or whatever that. So your children would have to get a certain age before they would have to come in before the sun goes down. And so I'm using an extreme example to kind of start the ball rolling on the nuance. So this example is before they reach that age, we would want them in the house when the sun goes down. Like we would still want our children in the house. They should be able to stay out just as late as all of us. And you and I could have a whole dialogue with a bunch of people about how children should be able to stay out as late as adults. To a degree, would you agree that that would be a useless conversation?
Yeah.
And here it is. It wouldn't be a useless conversation because we're worried about the majority of other adults, especially if we've chosen, hopefully, if you've been able to choose the neighborhood that you live in, right? If it's by choice, hopefully you choose to live in a safe neighborhood. I know that's not always everybody's scenario, but if we are not married and we're fortunate enough to live in a safe neighborhood, we can have that conversation, but it ain't because we're worried about the majority of our neighbors, especially back in the day when you knew your neighbors. We know we've got, in a world where we know our neighbors less and less, that conversation becomes even more ridiculous. Because I live in an apartment and don't even know the people that live below me anymore. I grew up in a small town. When I would go visit the projects, I knew damn near everybody in the projects, and I ain't even live in the projects. Mm-mm. But again, we know we've gotten away from those times, but I'm highlighting the reality of in a world in which we're connected on social media, less connected in real life. We would never want, in a sense, our children to be out late. Can you see kind of where I'm going, where the dialogue that I watched happen was a dialogue on the social media about this very meme about how things should be. But if those should be things are nowhere close to based on reality, you're going to create a bunch of what should be done, how some men should protect or act, or what men should, strangers should or should not do, when that's never been reality. So I kind of want you to jump in before I get into the provision and protection. We're probably up past the break normally at this point because I got on my soapbox. Matter of fact, let me go to the break and I'll let you respond to me after the break, and we're going to keep walking through this thing. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. True seekers, please understand, Mental Dialogue is much more than just a talk show. Each and every Saturday, we communicate with you for two reasons, to dialogue and connect. On the dialogue side, we cater to you intellectual outcasts who feel you have no place for honest discourse on race, sex, culture, and African-American business. On the Connect side, we've created a community where you can connect with experts specifically in finance, whether personal or business, and mental health, whether it's trauma or to optimize performance, along with all the other skill sets from other MD community members. Our mission was to create a virtual nationwide neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services through social media, meetups, and this podcast. To become a neighbor of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, please visit us at mentaldialogue.com. We are better with you than we are without you. We can be neighbors even though we don't live next to each other. Hashtag raise the culture.
In recent weeks, several women have allegedly died at the hands of their partners.
Good evening. Two children are now without their mother after her life was allegedly taken in a horrifying domestic violence incident.
Just 2 weeks ago, 28-year-old Dana Isaac was found dead in her Western Sydney home, her boyfriend charged. Just before Christmas, 31-year-old teacher Danielle Finlay-Jones was found dead. A man she met on a dating website has been charged with her murder. Then came the murder of 64-year-old Lindy Lucina at Ballina on the New South Wales North Coast on January 4. Her alleged killer breached an AVO.
How do you react to that personally?
It actually breaks my heart, because I think immediately you know, that's a whole family now that has to grapple with the loss of an innocent life.
The statistics are staggering.
Out of the 252 intimate partner homicides reviewed by the coronial death review team, there were 267 kids left behind. It's the fallout from when we don't win, when we don't succeed. There's a lot happening in this space. It's going to be a busy year.
Yeah, that's
It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't have a racial group. It doesn't have an age group. It doesn't have a social economic group. It is a problem, an insidious crime that we've got to deal with as a community.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Shanika Peterson. This morning's discussion question, should black women feel protected around black men, strangers or not? Again, I took another cut from Sydney, Australia. They're actually put together a task force focused on domestic violence. The cut I played earlier, the officer talked about how he had focused on organized crime for years, and now that he's in this space, this type of stuff is five times higher when it comes to domestic violence. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, unfortunately, from ages 15 to 44, domestic violence is the leading cause of injury for women over all other types of accidents, rape, car accidents, all. It is the unfortunate lead cause of injury. And as kind of mentioned at the end, it unfortunately hits all groups. That's not me to simply say it's the same for us as black people, but I am highlighting the dialogue because today's question for a lot of black men feels like an attack. as, you know, to the degree that in the sense that a lot of black men will take it as sisters are saying we don't protect them, but we're walking through the nuance and the dialogue. And so right before the break, Shadika, I just kind of mentioned, you know, how we get caught up in a should, and I like to highlight that when we have dialogues on what should be, you're quite often are not going to come up with a solution that is viable based on reality. That's something that I quite often say on a lot of issues, to include this one. So I wanted to kind of, if you can, you know, kind of heard where I went. Again, I haven't finished kind of going down the path, but I wanted to let you jump in before I get into the protection and provision piece specifically, when you first hear me lay out the context of, you know, even you saying, oh, we should, it should be no harm. I should be protected around black men, you know, strangers or not. Sounds nice. It's never been reality. And again, I'm not making it okay that it's not reality, but it's not a good dialogue, in my opinion. And that's what happened on the post. Your thoughts before I keep going.
Yeah. As far as, you know, you're absolutely right. When we're having these conversations on social media, the nuances definitely aren't taken into consideration. And it is very difficult to, you know, kind of type in your full thoughts when we are having these conversations. So when we're talking about what should happen, yes, ideally we should feel protected around black men, strangers or not. Even with you going forward saying, let's make this a thing, y'all. Reality, again, we need to take in all of these other factors as far as the person who's intervening, are they potentially putting themselves at risk? We need to take into consideration all the statistics that have been brought forward during this discussion as far as I'm going to say this not to kind of put men, you know, in the hot seat, but men have been the perpetuators of this violence. So even with a woman potentially, you know, feeling like she should feel protected around men who have statistically been the perpetuators, should I feel protected around you when statistically you are the perpetuators of the violence? You know, again, that's another nuanced conversation.
So let's jump in. Let's go right there, because I'm going to show you how the conversation unfortunately happens from a should be versus a reality. Because here's the full context. Even the example that you gave, which it makes sense. However, the protector quite often is a bunch of other men, whether it be you can go to your brother, your father, who we just talked about the nuance of whether they should get involved or not, or even men that you may not, or, you know, the situation I gave where I didn't even know either one of these women, if you will. And I'm not saying that that men always step in. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not trying to make myself a hero for the two moments that I shared with you. That's not even what I'm coming close to do, you know. But even in that example, again, we don't know exactly what happened because she was outside. Like I said, she called his mother telling what she was going to do versus the police. Again, weird to me. But the context that doesn't happen is, that does not include it, is had it went further, there's two brothers that's finna save the day had it went further in front of us. And so the context, absolutely understood. It's been, you know, for you as a woman, if that's been perpetuated by you. But when I play a cut of Sydney, Australia task force focused on these predators who constantly commit these issues, that's an entire society. Mostly men who are trying to stop these predators. That's the context that gets left out in reality. The reason I brought up the you and me being married and our children going outside is because I'm maneuvering in the reality of what protection and provision looks like usually requires that you do things smartly. You know, you don't have children out too late at night. Or if you're in a city, you try to go the lighted route versus the dark route. Because ideally, we should be able to go any route and never be harmed by no one. But that's never been the consideration. But in this dialogue, when it's put in the wrong context, we're actually within our own culture looking down at men for not providing something that's never been available. And the reason it's never been available is not because most men are predators. It's never been available because of the few men who will do these things.
And let me just add,
go ahead.
Let me just add a little more clarity to my response. Okay. When I mentioned the men being the perpetuators. So if a woman has been in a situation where her experience of violence has come from men, in my head, I don't have any statistics to support this, but if I personally have been the victim of violence by men, I'm not expecting another man to protect me from a situation I'm in because my experience. So I'm not just saying overall, you know, because of men, da, 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 da. What I'm saying is, as a woman, if my experience has been that the violence that I've received has been from men, I think I'm less likely to run to a man for protection if that's been my experience. So I just wanted to clarify that. I might call my girlfriend, you know what I'm saying, or I might run to an elder woman or someone else for protection as opposed to another man because that just hasn't been my experience.
Okay, and so would you admit that sounds super unique to me because I'm quite used to sisters in these situations, calling a brother, calling an uncle, calling a friend, That's what I'm used to seeing. And again, I'm not saying my relative experience is everybody's experience, but I'm not used to I definitely have seen or heard of situations where they definitely did go to their closest girlfriends first. And those are usually the situations in which, well, I should say usually, but what the ones I've seen is where there's a whole dialogue about whether, let's say it was a rape, for example, whether it's going to be reported or not. So I definitely have seen sisters and have actually been a part of something in college where we were imploring this girl to tell us who had harmed her. And she never would. And that's not me putting it on the woman for not telling, because I absolutely get the psychology of how it is not easy to share a rape situation because of the ridicule that comes back to a woman. So I'm pointing that out to say I understood it, but we were imploring because, hey, let's get this dude kicked out of college, get him out of school, and because of some other, went to a military college, and because there have been other situations where there was, you know, some ridicule and disbelief about whether the situation happened or not, I know that makes a lot of women afraid to come forward because they don't want to go through that scrutiny. This was actually a white girl in my actual dorm that she never would tell. She never told who did it or whatever, and everybody was imploring her to do so. And so I'm just kind of saying, so I said it to say that I am aware that sometimes women will resort to going to just, you know, to just, in a sense, to just women. Us imploring them to go to the authorities, quite often the authorities are a bunch of men who would gladly wrap up these predators, and that's the context that is left out, that society in itself creates these laws to apprehend, you know, these people that commit violence. And we lose context that is often set up by the men of a community or a state or whatever, or the nation in itself, the culture that you live in. That is how the majority of men feel about these predators. And so to your point, I do get, as an individual woman, it may be hard to see it that way, but I would offer that that's the context that's lost when, within our community specifically, we start saying there's men not doing anything about these men. Because that's what we often hear. Your thoughts to that, Queen?
So as we're having this discussion, I do just want to highlight that our experiences, based on my experience, so let me just lean into my experiences. Montoya, a lot of this is really not even my reality. So let's start there. I really haven't experienced a lot of this, Even personally, my interactions with men, and for those in the mental dialogue community who don't know who I am, you know, I'm a pretty statuesque woman, right? So even having men approach me in a threatening manner, that really hasn't been my experience. As far as my community or my network of people, it's been my experience, women who have issues with their men, they go to their girlfriends, you know, not necessarily other men, and those other men, talking about the nuance that they may go to your point, maybe a brother, maybe an uncle, but if we're talking about a situation just out in the community, I'm out and about and a stranger is threatening me and me looking to another man to intervene, I think that's another layer that we need to consider. And I think we're kind of conflating all of these things.
Okay.
And maybe it's just me based on my experience, but I think all of these different situations may garner a different response.
No, that's fair. And I think sometimes it gets conflated to the point where there's an expectation that is based on what should be that I'm offering that is a somewhat unrealistic because that's not how the world works. But that expectation is where some of the ridicule is. Like, for example, there was a comment on the meme. We're about to go to the top of the break, but I'll say this comment, and then we'll come back and discuss it after the break, where one comment was so sad because this comes natural to most races of men. That was a response to the meme that said black women should feel protected around black men, strangers or not. So that comment is offered as if other races do this and black men are not. I hear that a lot. Definitely want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know the statistics, but just off the top of my head, I wouldn't say that's true.
Fair enough.
To me,
fair
that
enough.
Sounds like something that happens across the board.
Fair enough. All right, we're up against the break. We'll be right back, and we'll continue this discussion. Anybody wants to jump in, 646-787-1691. We'll be right back. But all I ask is that you think.
Hey, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies' gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money. Everywhere I go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, they still know it's me. Because I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money. Welcome back. The Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with co-host Shanika Peterson. This morning's discussion question, should black women feel protected around black men, strangers or not? Let me tell you my response to the sister who said, so sad because this becomes natural to most races of men. My response was, that is the misunderstanding I mentioned in the caption. It doesn't come natural to any race, and because we misunderstand protection and provision, many missed the boat. And so what I'm sharing with her is in the sense that she believes this to be natural, I'm offering that protection and provision is a learned and taught response by typically your culture, your family, specifically your family. Like if you come to have those values, hopefully your family first and the community around you support it, that you have those values. This is the main reason the majority of men are never involved in these situations. But when you hear the unfortunate statistics that are far too many that are being perpetrated by the people that do them, when you hear it only in the context of them alone, there's this idea that there's a lot of men perpetrating. There's too many men perpetrating. But if you were raised with good values, then that's where protection comes from. I don't think it is natural as it to a degree may be for a mother to a child with that to a degree motherly instinct, if you will. There's a natural motherly instinct that I think women in a sense may have, but I think boys in general, since they are, as you said, Shanika, the perpetrators of the majority of violence, we do see that those numbers going up where women are now, you know, unfortunately, or at least a little more reports, I should say, men typically report even less than women if they're on the end of, on the other end of it. So let me be fair there. But ultimately, at the end of the day, since the statistics unfortunately point to men are the biggest perpetrators of this type of violence, whether it be rape, domestic violence, or whatever the case may be, then it comes in my opinion that those values have not been shown to most of those perpetrators. And without being shown or taught that, it proves that, in a sense, that it's not a natural thing, as this sister assumes. Any thoughts to my response to her saying, hey, this has to be taught. It's not just something that's natural. Your thoughts?
My thoughts go back to those particular symptoms that were highlighted in one of the previous clips that you played, talking about the economic disparities, talking about the discrimination, lack of support, resources, and not knowing how to navigate the legal system. When we talk about those collectively as stressors, could it be, leaning into what you're saying, not being taught how to deal with the stress, how to deal those coping mechanisms, and it possibly plays out as violence and lashing out? Could that be the thing that we need to focus on?
So help me understand how it relates to, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm really kind of asking about, is it natural to protect? I think we need to move into what you're talking about, but I think I'm asking specifically about the concept of hearing this. Again, you didn't agree with her in a sense, but in the sense that she thinks this is natural to other races, and I'm saying no, this is taught. These values are taught. So yeah, we can focus on those things, but even in focusing on them, you still have to be taught how to handle it, if that makes sense.
Okay, I got you. So I kind of went off. So is it natural? Honestly, I'm going to say yes, Montoya. I think naturally, inherently, people want to help others. Inherently, I think people have that basic humanity where they want to intervene. I think what gives people pause is knowing nowadays you could be placing your life at risk if you intervene. So, and when you talk about other cultures, I'm not sure. You know, statistics can lean into whatever it is they want to lean in. So when we start bringing in other cultures, we may want to consider that other cultures probably underreport these things. Other cultures probably have a dynamic where they deal with it differently, where they don't necessarily report it to the authorities or seek help outside their community or the family. So we need to take these things into consideration. But based on her response, I do not believe these things are inherent to other cultures to protect and not inherent to us. I do believe basic humanity, most people would intervene if it weren't for the factors such as I may be putting my life in danger if I try to assist.
So I'm going to have you to throw out to understand this perspective. That's always existed, Shanika. Like, that's why I offered that it's not natural. It has always existed that me jumping in, I'm at risk, and it actually used to be worse that you're at risk. Like, I get that you're thinking, like, hey, in a carry state, people may have a gun. Like there are countries right now where we can see a situation happen in public, right? in other countries. We can see this on the video, on videos right now in those countries where they're, and again, this is not me trying to get into what gun law should be, but we absolutely have the most guns of any country in the, you know, of any country in the world, if you will, right? But in a lot of those countries, we do see interventions where something happens publicly. It could be two men, but it definitely, if it's a man and a woman, where a bunch of men will be involved. They are pretty assured that there's not going to be a gun involved in a lot of those countries. Again, that's not me highlighting that one country is better than the other. I am giving credence to some of what you're saying in the sense that a lot of times we may value one of those videos in another country, and I've heard this dialogue done online where somebody shows a video and it'll get turned online. And it's not me just fighting against online people. It's just the dialogue in the context of understanding reality where online you will see people saying, oh, black men wouldn't do that. Like that happens in our community. And the reality in America is outside of, to your point, some cultures that have that in their community, in the country that they're in, some of them will come here and exhibit the same thing. But the majority of people in this country simply call the police. And we have a relationship with the police that makes it much more difficult. And I've seen sisters, unfortunately, not call the police when they should based on the history we have with the police. So we're in like our sisters are in a lose-lose situation based on the context of how we see the police. Every other culture, I would say outside of, any Muslim communities who do handle things kind of in-house, like to your point, right? And there are some other places around the country where those communities are such. But those same people, when we say we will give credence to those communities, not realizing when they're outside of their community where their values can be upheld, they don't have to necessarily resort to the police. Those same people in other places in the country, once they're outside their community, they pick up the phone. So I'm just kind of highlighting the reality that based on what we've experienced in this country, we start pointing fingers. And the context is so lost on what typically can and does happen in, quote unquote, other communities inside the country, inside this country. Most of them just pick up 911. I'm not pointing the fingers at our sisters for not doing it. I hate that they don't do it. But it has to be part of the dialogue versus continuing to indict one another one way or the other. That's kind of where I'm hoping to go with this dialogue, if that makes sense. Your thoughts, Queen.
I hear you, Montoya. I hear you. I don't want to, too much on her response. And I do agree with you that, unfortunately, it has been my experience as well that women do not involve law enforcement when they should because of the relationship that the black community has with the police officers, in that the man, if you will, could potentially end up losing his life, and he may be her primary support. Additionally, if she calls the police, when he's released, there may be hell to pay once he gets out as well. So that's another layer to add to that conversation as well.
Absolutely. And so adding that layer, that is the reality. But do you see the context with us within our community? Quite often the dialogue is this standard that's far from the reality. Like, I highly encourage that you absolutely call the police, but I also know that that will be met with a lot of disdain based on our history, but there should never be a point in which, because I said I love this meme. So because I want black women to be protected, absolutely involve law enforcement immediately. And it's something our culture should be saying, but we'll spend time saying we should be able to figure out how to handle it in-house. when I've seen situations where people, women know that there's a certain man who will handle the situation and they go out their way. I've seen men and women do this, go out their way not to share it with a certain man in their family or man in their town who will go over the top in response because they want to save him from doing what he might do. Right?
And I get that. And I think that goes back to the cycle of violence or the cycle of abuse. So let me ask you this. So again, let's create a scenario between us. If I'm in
okay,
a situation and I'm being violent.
Let's do the break and then you come back with your scenario.
Okay.
All right. I see the extra callers out there. If you want to get in, please press 1. We'll definitely let you get in on this discussion. If you want to call in, the number is 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back. For all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wine. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping deal or something, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, try this sweet red first.
Okay, that's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it, you know what I'm talking about?
For sure, that's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
Bad.
Definitely check out Ship and Share Wines. They put together my signature Moscato, and I released the book, Reeducation of the Negro, shipandsharewines.com. Love that black-owned winery. This morning's discussion question, should black women feel protected around black men, strangers or not? We actually got a caller. Let's go to the caller before you give me the scenario, Shanika. Area code 602, last 3619. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I was calling to get involved because I do believe that our women, they bring our kids into the world, and it's very important for us to protect them as children, and as they grow up to be grown women, we have to be a community and raise our kids.
Well, love the thoughts. That was a thought. Let me ask you this, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
For plenty of black men do exactly what you're talking about, right?
Yes, sir.
A lot of them, some I know from personal experience, are offended sometimes by the conversation and this idea because of the predators and what they do, that it is passed on to other African-American men. And so the majority of men do exactly what you just said. So even in you saying that, it's as if we don't, but for the men who do, they struggle with it. And then I'm not even separating them. They are the majority of men. Like here's a context that most people, don't know. The majority of violent crimes in the country is committed by anywhere from 4 to 8% of the country. Like, people lose context of the exponentiality of harm and crime committed by repeat offenders. And that's not not trying to minimize, but that reality is never the context that's brought in when something get applied broad brush, and the majority of brothers will protect, do protect, and they already do what you said. So what are your thoughts when I just kind of push back on you to say, hey, that is what the majority of our people do, but in our community, we don't believe that. Your thoughts?
Well, I feel like this, man. We got out of the old school way where you would go to the barbershop on a Saturday. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there in Radio Land, under the sound of my voice, let me get that out of the way. But I do feel like we lost our way as a people. We're so busy looking at stuff in social media, we're not being sociable with our kids, women, and children who's actually we see every day. You understand? Is that making sense?
I'm hearing that, and so what do you think the solution would be? Because I think there's a solution for it. I don't think it's an easy solution. I don't think it's an easy solution, but if we in fact we have lost our way, because the barbershop, in my opinion, reinforces what you got at home, what you got at home, and unfortunately, if you're not getting that at home, then you, as I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you heard this part of the show, but if you have a situation where more people are not getting those values, that's the results we're seeing. Again, that's still not the majority of people, but we have more people committing some of these issues. So I don't know if I'm making sense, but I just want to kind of give you one more.
And I believe that this radio show is a prime example. What we call in, we share our opinions, and you open up the lines and let people hear what they have to say, and that's very deep. It's a lot of shows that won't even open your lines, so I commend you for that. But having healthy discussions like this is going to change the world, because I got a long day, long week, but I'm glad I'm here to get this knowledge and education so I can share it with somebody else.
Thank you for the talk. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the support. All right, Shanika, let's get into your scenario. Right, absolutely. Let's get into your scenario, Queen. Go ahead.
So the scenario, I particularly want to lean into the what next. So when we talk about the cycle of violence, right, and I absolutely want to highlight, we're not talking about the majority of men. This is not the majority of men. But in situations where you said, and I agree, law enforcement should be called at the first signs, right? My question is, what next? So when law enforcement is called on these situations, or let's say law enforcement isn't called. Let's say I call my father or I call my brother. My brother comes and he intervenes, however that is, whether it's just talking or laying the beat down. What's next, right? And I think that also factors into the equation. So going back to the stressors as far as lack of resources, lack of support, not knowing how to navigate the legal system, what's next? Because in a lot of these situations, some of these victims feel as though they don't have resources. They feel as though they don't have support. Or in some situations, they have been manipulated to the point where they just going to go back anyway. So my question is, what's next? So we call law enforcement. We call our cousins to come lay the beat down. Now what's next when we're talking about this cycle of violence?
No, I got you. So I've been fortunate enough to do some specific shows on domestic violence. And so you're really kind of asking specifically about domestic violence. And basically,
Well, let me say, in addition to that, even if we're on the street, right? I'm out with my significant other. You don't know me. And he's threatening me. He may be physically abusing me. Or it could be a stranger. I'm walking down the street.
Call the police.
There's a group of boys, you know, that's threatening me.
I'm still saying call the police. If we're not okay with saying that. And that's the challenge. The scenario, if you're going to give me that scenario, like, that's the dialogue. And a lot of people will push back because we think of that other cultures do something different. Not in America. That's like I'm speaking the truth about what happens in America. Now, have there been scenarios where somebody plays the hero? Absolutely, if you feel and would do so. But I had a brother who I told him I was doing this show, and he goes, if my first rule is to protect my wife and children, I don't know that I can get involved and they lose me because I got involved with a stranger situation. I can respect that. But we will offer that it is cowardly and that men don't want to protect. Because I'm passionate not because I don't understand why we don't call the police, but I am passionate because we don't give ourselves the freedom to do what the other people that we say are protected are protective of each other, not realizing that all they do is call the police. We're constantly talking about if you happen to move out of one of our neighborhoods, how nosy our damn neighbors are when we don't live next to each other. They nosy ass call the police for everything. Not just white people. Not just white people. Like, we have this romanticized idea of what it looks like for other cultures. But I also want to now move into protection and provision from a family structure. Because here's the unfortunate reality. The unfortunate reality is the numbers are higher in our community, mostly due to economic factors. That is the truth. Mm-hmm. That is the main reason, not because something is inherently wrong with us because we're black. However, when you look at other cultures where the numbers are lower, it is partly culture. The underreporting is kind of prevalent across the board. So, you know, we can't get into, I will say for the immigrant community, they are the last to report because for the illegal immigrant community, let me get this very clear. I want to make sure I say things correctly. They are the last to report because they don't want to be deported. And the predators against them take advantage of the fact that they know they won't call. Like, so they go through a lot of violence for those that are unfortunately in the country right now, currently illegally. I didn't mean to say immigrants. I'd like to be very clear in that, because sometimes we broad brush that word. But I'm saying that community actually experiences the most violence in all kind of ways because the predators know they can't call. We somewhat culturally as a black community, if you're going to speak in the collective, actually suffer some of that same thing because of our, because of our relationship with the police. Our predators can somewhat count on that we, one, won't do it, and then the reality for domestic violence specifically is the psychology is to the point where a lot of those injuries happen when somebody tries to leave. So I get, because I raised money for domestic violence specifically for women when I was in high school and learned all about it, the psychology, and absolutely understand why it's not as simple to leave as somebody who doesn't understand that psychology think it is. So I get all of that. I'm just saying raising in the culture who understands that, and then back to getting into protection and provision. When we focus on, yeah, we should be able to be protected around strangers, the reality is around the world is no culture believes that, Shanika. Even the cultures that we applaud and see or get involved in a public situations, like we talked about in other parts of the world, those cultures don't operate as if they should be protected around strangers. The reason we see those examples that we can put up on YouTube where several men have jumped into a situation is because their reality is the same as all. There's a small percentage of men who will create that type of violence. And so when they create that type of violence, those men get involved and they create a culture in which they're able to say, hey, sister, or hey, to their women, you know, we'll say sisters, whatever they call their women, affectionately, they'll advise and say, hey, we don't want you in this area. In America, we try to be able to say, oh, you should just be able to go anywhere. No culture believes that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we take that out of that. That's the level of provision that of the cultures that we admire. They have that provision. We want to have the same safety without the provision. Your thoughts on that, Queen?
Can you go back, because I'm not sure if I missed it, but can you just go back and define the provision?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as a matter of fact, because you mean, so basically, it's go back to our example of having children. So part of the reason we could be responsible for our children, let's say you and I have children. Part of the reason we can be responsible for our children is because in building a relationship with our children, they accept some of our provision, meaning, you know, we've built trust with them and we say, hey, don't go down this, when you go to this store, go this way. And so obviously our children can go and decide on their own to explore and go the wrong way, and something, you know, could happen. And when something happens, you know, hopefully they're not, you know, harmed, whatever, but I'm just saying something happens, then because they broke our provision, right, they'll be scared to tell us what happened, right, because they know we told them what to do. But you can only offer that type of rule to someone that you're responsible for and accepts your provision. So provision is accepting the rules for someone who says, yes, I am responsible for you. What we do in these dialogues is we want to culturally try to provide provision over people we don't know. That's not what cultures do. When we see cultures abiding by what they agree to, they are also agreeing to following the rules of the person who has provision over them. That's not something that we're willingly open to do in America any longer, if that makes sense.
So I'm writing down what you're saying as far as understanding provision. That is accepting the rules of someone who has responsibility over you. That's the trust that you have within a group dynamic or a person-to-person dynamic. Now, applying this to a situation where, going back to the topic, black women should feel protected around black men. So are you suggesting that, let me ask a question. How are you suggesting that provision plays out in this particular topic?
Okay.
As it relates to black men protecting black women?
I got you. So I would offer, if we think that there are other cultures that do it better, and in this country, we can kind of see the numbers because we got, you know, a lot of demographics, if you will. But in reality, where there are more family structures, you see more protections. And within those family cultures, I remember it growing up myself as well, right? And so when you have more intact families, you get a level of protection that happens. And so when we're in a situation where it's less of that, then now you have you're looking to strangers who have no responsibility over you for provision. And I would offer that's not what other cultures do. Other cultures are not coming to the aid of strangers. It is very natural to go to your family members. But we have a situation in which we don't have a lot of intact families. And so there's this idea of we don't protect each other, but we're not owning the fact that we don't have enough intact families to make that more viable, if that makes sense.
Yes. So, and as you're stating that, again, I'm going back to these particular symptoms of the problem. Because there are less intact families, I think that's where we have these economic disparities, the lack of support, mm-hmm. the lack of some of these things come into play because of the lack of and I also want to say, I'll add, and this is just from my understanding, not only intact families, but I will say healthy families.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that goes without saying, though, Shanika. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Well, let me say this, Montoya. I want to offer that some of our experiences are as men and women are very, very different, and we don't have these conversations. So, whereby a woman may be in a situation, and again, this primarily in domestic violence situations that I'm about to speak on, you have people who will allow you. Who may intervene temporarily, but encourage you to go back and deal with this situation. You know what I'm saying? So when we talk about healthy situations, there are people who come from families where domestic violence is normal.
Right.
So they're not going to encourage you to leave. They're going to encourage you to work it out. So
right.
when we talk about healthy, to me, that's not healthy. You know, it
no,
may
I
be
agree,
okay.
I agree.
Look, we're
going to
talk about it right
healthy.
Now, but you need to go back to your home situation, and you all need to work it out.
No, I got you. That's fair, and that's fair that you said it. And again, let me make this very clear. there are absolutely people who have had intact situations where domestic violence is a real issue in the intact situation. So if I need to make that clear, let me make it very clear. That's absolutely understood. The unfortunate reality and how our numbers are unfortunately slightly higher, 31% of quote-unquote white women experience, you know, different types of violence, not just domestic violence, but just violence in general. 40% of our sisters have experienced violence in their lifetime. Where the number gets higher is, again, very understanding that, again, I want to make this clear as hell, that I know it happens in intact families as well. However, what I am pointing out is when you compare intact families to live-in situations, to step-parent situations, to all these other forms of situation, there you can go look at the numbers, and they are astronomically higher in general in these other family dynamics. And so we rely and lean on family situations that are typically more risky than an intact married family. I'm talking about as a culture, we rely on that. Again, I've highlighted domestic violence absolutely can happen, just like you said, inside of families where you're encouraged to stay in it. So I absolutely admit that exists. Unfortunately, what you're saying, Shaniqua, we also have to do an apples-to-apples comparison, and people never do this, is that same thing happens in other family dynamics too, and those situations are much more riskier because of how they start and get together. You feel me? What we like to do is
we will
highlight the negativity of a married intact situation, but don't compare it to how much that exact same thing happens much more in all the other dynamics. I'm not offering that a married intact family is the solution in itself, but I am highlighting that the cultures we admire have that type of protection. And I'll play this little clip just for kicks because I think it'll help give some context to what I'm saying. I wasn't even planning on using this clip, but I'm going to play this little clip and just I'm going to see if you can surmise why I'm playing it. I'm just going to play it kind of randomly, and you just tell me if you see how it fits into today's conversation. Listen, it's about a minute clip. I'm just going to play it randomly just for the hell of it and see if you can put two and two together.
Instead of breaching the freedom and privacy of their children, parents stay watchful about their offspring's attitude and behavior to prevent them from venturing into any misleading paths. You know some of the things you hear parents say, leave your kids alone, let them do whatever they want. You know, they kind of got to go through it. Indian parents will say, you're a fool to do that when they're kids. You got to be involved so they don't go out there and do crazy things. I remember, and while I'm listening to this, some of it's reminding me, I'm thinking my mom's maybe a little bit Indian. Middle Easterns have similar tendencies, by the way. They're on these lists too. My sister went on her first date. I'm younger brother by 6 years. She says, your job is to spy on her. You're going to go everywhere she goes. So I'm like, no problem. Yes, sir. You know, it's like, yes, ma'am. So me and the friends, everybody had a job. I'm watching from the top. You see her, they kiss. And then boom, they drove. Follow him. I'm a 14, 15-year-old kid. We're trying to follow exactly where this guy's going. Watching everything to come back and report. Look at that concept. This kid has to do this with his sister. Some tells me Indian parents maybe do a little bit of that as well. Sisters are watching the same. You were the annoying brother, were you? I was very protective. Power to all the protective brothers out there. We need more of them out there. I'm hoping.
See, do you see kind of where I'm going as we hear this brother, this guy break down Indian values and his own personal values of, that's an example of provision. The father saying, hey, go follow your sister. America, in my opinion, in general, would push back on that crazily. But there was a time where even that was normal in American culture. Any thoughts to how it relates to this conversation as far as understanding what families, healthy families, to your point, typically will and can do?
I definitely understand how having that family network, that community network, so even leaning into us not necessarily being community-based, not knowing our neighbors and things of that nature, how there's no longer that cover, if you will, with the support that individuals in our community may need. I absolutely can agree with that clip and that sentiment. And I think as we move further and further away from that, we're going to have more instances where that protection isn't there, or that provision isn't there.
Yeah, I'm going to read this, some more comments that happened from this week, and just get your thoughts. I'm going to just brush through them real quick. I was going to just kind of stop and pause, but I'm just going to read them all together and you kind of give me your thoughts. But this one brother on my IG page, when I put up the meme, said, get a husband. That's your protection. Every other culture of women understand this. And then the sister says, the men and women in other cultures understand this. Stop blaming black women for everything. Shaking my head. Such a shame. The brother comes back and says, a mature conversation about how there are 70% of single black mothers and only 42% of black men have kids, how black women procreate with some of the worst of men, then blame all black men for it. We can have this conversation, sweetie. Then I responded to seeing this and said, for the record, 50 to 60% of black men have children, but this conversation isn't an honest one by laying it at the feet of either gender unless we disregard the history of why this happens. The biggest mistake is to keep blaming the other gender versus healing and seeking to build healthy marriages before children. No one learns from being ridiculed first, and since black women and black men clearly need each other, let's start there. The blame game only adds to the divisiveness that we don't need. The brother responded to me and says, yes, but the other percentages that makes that are black men married to black women. This post laid guilt on black men, and the moment it was published, it antagonized and shamed black men. Black men should protect black women. Who says we don't? This is constantly perpetuated as if black men are doing something wrong. I responded to him and said, you must have overlooked the commentary that said the meme is not based on reality because it misunderstands what protection and provision looks like. You are correct. There are black men who protect, and the way to make this a thing, as the meme suggests, is healthy marriage before children. I think we agree on that, so no need to lay blame. Let's just get more people on board. And his final response was, definitely marry before you carry, but the message that so many blacks have perpetuated for the last few decades is that black men don't protect them, and this puts a negative stigma on all brothers. I mean, my wife, daughter, and mother, sisters, female business partners, and employees would all disagree. So when I see this message, I feel the need to defend myself and brothers that provide, protect, and risk life and limb to protect the women in their life. Any thoughts about that back and forth dialogue, anything that stood out for you?
So my thoughts are this. One, these conversations that we have, I do feel are divisive because oftentimes what we do, we point fingers. We want to say, men are the cause of the issue, women are the cause of the issue, instead of dealing with the issue, right? And as you were speaking, what I wrote down was to myself, we need to work on being healthy individuals, mind, body, spirit, emotions, so that we can be in healthy relationships and that we can build healthy communities. That's my response. Oftentimes we don't want to hold the mirror up to ourselves to become healthy individuals. So before we start talking about partnering with other people, let's hold the mirror up to ourselves and do all the things that we need to do to make sure we are of sound mind, body, spirit, emotions before we start connecting with other people, because that's problematic as well, which is a conversation for another day. We enter into these relationships not even looking at bettering ourselves. We look outside for other people to validate who we are and to build us up. So, and again, a conversation for another podcast. But I would say let's start with becoming healthy individuals so we can have healthy relationships and therefore healthy communities. And maybe some of these conversations, these topics won't be so divisive, and maybe we will have situations where, you know what, we will feel safer around each other.
Now, I love it. We'll go to this last break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
You saw brothers not protecting sisters or disrespecting sisters, or you see these senseless debates or people going back and forth, you don't even realize right in front of you are about four or five great brothers or sisters that would support you, that would care about you. You might have walked past 20 black men that would respect you and that would protect you, but you don't even notice them because you're too busy being mad at what you see in your phone. Same thing with brothers. You're too busy looking at the gold diggers in your phone. You don't even see the decent sisters that's walking past you. You know, because a lot of people do not live in reality. You live in your phone and you consume all that negative energy all day. And when you consume that, you put it out on other people. Consume that and then you convince yourself that this must be the case for every black man. All black men must be like this because this is what I see. Nobody tells you to follow those negative people. Nobody tells you to look at that stuff. Nobody tells you to be involved in these gender wars. You choose to do that. You choose to consume that. So you are convincing yourself that black men ain't shit, that black men don't respect black women, that black men don't protect black women. Because again, you can walk past plenty of men out there that would respect you and protect you, but you don't even acknowledge them. And when you do see them, you're disrespectful to them because you've already convinced yourself that they ain't shit. Excuse my language. But that is just the way a lot of us are, both men and women. And I would like to say one last thing. When you do see a lot of these videos where it's brothers not protecting a black woman or disrespecting a black woman, most of the time it's younger brothers. Most of the time it's brothers with this new masculinity. When you usually see brothers where a black man is stepping in and protecting a sister, it's usually a brother that has that original, regular old masculinity. You know what I mean? But when you shame men and make them feel like there's something wrong with their masculinity, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get a bunch of young brothers that don't know anything about being a man. I think a lot of these brothers could use a mentor. They need a masculine role model in their lives, which is why I think it's ridiculous that a lot of black women still are talking about how toxic masculinity is. Of course, there are some brothers out there that do use their masculinity in a negative way, but there's a balance. There's always balance. And for sisters to say, oh, I'm not protected and men don't protect us, but then when a black man is a protector, you say he's overprotective or he's controlling or he's toxic. What do you want? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Women say that about my man. Like, he's a great protector, like I said before. But women will be like, oh, your man is controlling or he's overprotective. No, he's not. You know, how would you know? Clearly you say you don't have protection. You don't have anybody protecting you. So how do you know what's overprotective? You don't have anybody protecting you according to what you say. So, like, what do you want? Do you want men to be masculine or not? You know? So, anyways, I'm going to stop because I'm going to be going on.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Shanika Peterson. This morning's discussion question, should black women feel protected around black men? Strangers not, as we hear a cut from Sarah Lena. She's been a guest on the show before, but I thought it was a poignant way to, you know, be in a sense the last cut going into this last segment of her just highlighting how we can get caught up in our phones and make these assumptions that and come up with these general ideas about one another, you know, black men and black women both doing it, and it's far from the reality. When I say far from the reality, when you actually look at the actual numbers and realize, you know, again, when you get into the exponentiality of harm and crime data specifically, the majority of people are not perpetuating some of this violence.
And because of the reasons you said, Shanika, maybe not every man gets involved and stops the situation, but the majority of men, one, are not doing this as far as, you know, this conversation today, but vice versa. Even when, you know, men are saying women should be doing this and should be doing that, you, I always say this, you cannot shame the other gender. We should do exactly, interacting correctly, just get in the mirror, be who you should be, and attract who you need. To your point, getting healthy, you will attract healthy. So I definitely agree with you 100%, and I love what Sarah Lena had to say. Your thoughts, and I'm going to give you another scenario of how, you know, we simplify and don't use, if you will, critical thinking to talk through these things. But I want to get your thoughts before I share this other example.
Yes, well, listening to the clip, I 100% agree with her. And I even had to check myself recognizing that social media life and real life are completely different. And as it relates to this particular subject, I will say for me, this isn't a thing. Like, I will say the vast majority of men I know that are in my circle or even experiences that I've had, even with strangers, they don't cause harm. They do not cause harm. There isn't a situation or they are willing to intervene, even if it's, hey, you okay? Hey, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? So as we have these conversations, it's good to kind of separate ourselves from social media or what's going on, you know, and ask ourselves, is this reality? Is this my particular experience? And also understanding what you're manifesting in that if you believe all men ain't shit, that's all you're going to see, those instances of men being ain't shit men. However, if you broaden your perspective and say, you know what, it's not all men. This particular situation had a negative income, and that was this particular situation. Your reality will appear very differently. So, yeah, I completely agree with the clip.
No, I love it. And I highly encourage, if you're a first-time listener, go back and listen to last week's show, Uplifting the Black Community, because I constantly think it is imperative that we stop accepting negative narratives about our community.
Yeah. Put down the phone.
Yes.
Get off social media.
because what I talked about last week is those simple dialogues that we've come to accept, or those simple narratives, I should say, that we've come to accept, we're saying them out loud and our babies are hearing them. So the babies are walking into it because they hear you saying it, right? You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you know, men ain't shit, or all these women are gold diggers, whichever one of the narratives that ain't got nothing, that's nowhere close to reality, even though it seems like it on social media, but saying it perpetuates, and we constantly think that there is something inherently wrong with us. We hear 40% of black women versus 31% of white women and think, oh, there's something inherently wrong with black people, and don't connect the critical thinking of the economic factor having nothing to do with race. It just so happens to, they apply the racial construct to crime stats in this country. But this has nothing to do with race. It's just applying the construct. If you don't critically think, I'll give you an example of what I mean. I remember I put this out probably over a year ago. I said I would teach my daughter to never go drinking with the boys. I would teach my daughter to never go drinking with the boys. I put it out to create dialogue, and it absolutely created dialogue, Shanika. And so one of the linear, non-critical thoughts in response to it, no surprise that I got this response, but this, if you don't apply critical thinking, this linear thought will make sense, if you will. So if I say, teach your daughters not to go drinking with the boys, somebody can respond with, teach your sons not to rape women. And people will applaud that linear thought as if it's an appropriate response. Let's get into the critical thinking before we close this show. So the critical thinking is, absolutely will teach my sons, if you will, if, you know, as a response, absolutely will teach my sons not to quote unquote rape women, right? However, we have the should be conversation that we quite often have, that I started from the beginning of this show and said, the should be conversations are actually silly. So
Believe it or not, that's a silly response to teach your daughter. I will teach my daughter not to go drinking with the boy. Here's how it's silly. Let me walk her through it, and I'll get your thoughts before we go, Shanika. So as a father of a daughter, I don't have children, but if I had a daughter, and I'm saying I would teach her this, here's the reality. I understand absolutely the same numbers that I've talked about, the context that I've talked about. So I know that if my daughter were to go off to college, right, and I tell her don't never go drinking with the boys, I know that the majority of the men, 95% of the men, that if she chose to disobey her father, because obviously she's a grown person or becoming grown and can do what she wants, hopefully she listens to my advice, but in the event that she don't, I know that 95% of the men would never harm her, even if they go drinking with her. I'm very aware of that. I teach my daughter to never do it because of that 4 or 5% of motherfuckers that'll make me have to come to that college and kill them. So my dialogue and teaching her that is based on the reality of that small percentage that may take advantage of her, and I'm giving her the advice. I never want you in that situation. Again, she's becoming a grown woman or is a grown woman at that point. Hopefully she listens to her father. But I'm giving the advice not to, because I give a damn about equality, I give a damn about reality. Does that make sense, Queen?
I am swishing this around in my mouth, Montoya. So let me ask you this before I respond. Is it don't go drinking? Is drinking the focus or going out with the boys the focus?
I put them together. So the context
because
is,
I would add that drinking.
Hold on. You can't do that. You asked me a question and you got to hear my answer. You can't separate them because my point is putting them together. Because if you're going to make a point based on one or the other, you're not making a point to what I said. So what I said was go drinking with the boys. So the point is I don't want her to ever go drinking with the boys, which is a cool thing to do in college if you're a drinker. I was never a drinker, but I know that's a cool thing to do. So I would tell my daughter, don't ever go drinking with the boys. It has to be both, not one or the other, as you asked me. So what is your response? Put them together, because that's what you need to respond to, because I'm not making the point one or the other, so I don't even know what I would mean by that, because I put them together on purpose.
You said, I don't even know what I would mean by that.
Yeah, like whatever you're about to say to one or the other, I put them together. I made it a mean to, it created a bunch of dialogue when I put this out. I did it intentionally to have the dialogue for the reason I just said. It's not that I think that there's a bunch of men that's going to harm my daughter. I know that's not the world. But I will prepare my daughter for those who will, and hopefully she takes my provision and uses it because it's to her favor to listen to her daddy. Do you understand that my provision is for the 4%? Not the other 96% that will never harm her when she goes drinking with them.
In response to your scenario, I would agree.
Because reality, we in a world now where people actually put a bunch of comments under it because we want to have a dialogue about should be. When we get into should be and we start applying words like equality, that ain't finna help save my daughter. Reality is, the comeback of teach boys not to rape is not a comeback based on reality. Teach boys not to rape, but there's gonna be some boys that ain't ever gonna be taught that shit, and I gotta prepare my daughter for that, motherfucker. We got 1 minute. If you want to tell them how to stay in contact with your sneaker, go ahead. But I need to lead the show with that. That's what protection and provision is. She has to listen to the rules in order to be protected in the way I would want her to be. 30 seconds, Queen. Get it all out. Not a whole response. Let them know how to stay in contact with you.
So thank you for having me on the show. This has been a good conversation that we've had. I hope that the listeners have taken away some good points, and hopefully they can expand the dialogue going further within their particular friend groups. Again, my name is Shanika Peterson. I am the host of the annual live event, Cocktails and Conversations. And I am a co-host of Real Talk with Pasha B. We can be found on all social media platforms at Talk with Pasha B. Again, thanks again, Montoya.
Perfect time. And hopefully, tell them about the Mental Dialogue Live experience. We got one next Friday. It's the dopest, smartest event in the city. 10 seconds and shout out how good the live experience is. Go ahead, Courtney.
So, please follow Mental Dialogue and Montoya Smith on all social media platforms. It's an awesome event where you will be edutained. You'll be educated and entertained at the same time. I've never had a bad experience, and I always leave away, you know, with more information than I came. So thank you. And it's a great networking opportunity to meet
dialogue
other
and connect.
Who are doing.
Absolutely.
Yes, dialogue.
Dialogue and connect is what we do best. See y'all next Friday for those in Atlanta. All I ask is that you think. See y'all next Saturday for everyone else.